Your Tangible Assets Advisor, one more time. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, one of the few businesses still apparently in operation. How about that? These are interesting times, folks. I don't know who's all listening. Maybe you're afraid you can catch coronavirus over the radio, but you can't. You don't need to worry about that unless somebody really dirty touches your radio, but I won't get into that. So anyway, we're here. If you guys want to do business, it's a good time, I suppose. You got nothing better to do, right? So don't be afraid to give us a call. And if we can help you out, we sure will. You might be considering securing some of your hard-earned or well-inherited assets somewhere secure, We call it wealth and capital preservation, and I would say if there's ever been a time, folks, this is it. This is the absolute most unique time fathomable in this nation. I have tried to talk to people. Now everybody's on board, okay? I mean, I'm going to go over this stuff just a little bit more about, we got to back up a little bit today. I think we got to go back and talk about where the virus came from. Get our head wrapped around it, understand what's going on in the world, understand that we've got full throttle propaganda underway. I mean, propaganda, folks, is, technically invented by Karl Marx, but not really. It's a human nature thing. It's a form of gossip, in a way. A good example, I was just speaking with my daughter about a situation with a person where I was delivered, we'll say, gossip about a guy who otherwise should be good. And so I made some calls. It's a business situation. I made some calls to verify. And it's the gossip's gossip. It's lies. It's bad. And it's terrible because you get a great impression of somebody. And that stuff sticks with you. And like I was telling my daughter, I've got friends that I know that are good people that I've heard something bad about, or at least I've had this happen in the past where I've heard something bad and I know it's not true. I find out it's not true, or I never thought it was true. And it still sticks in my head, which is why I think God is so opposed to gossip. Right? I mean, there's something about us we seem to attract towards that negativity, and we hang on to it. And it's very destructive. And there's people who will use that and key off of that, and they think, I guess, that it betters their position. Trying to break down the ground somebody stands on is not a healthy way. In other words, creating doubt about another person is not a healthy way to prop yourself up. Why do I mention this? We have a lady by the name of Nancy Pelosi, and she comes out, in an article today sent to me by my dear mother. It says, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested that Trump shouldn't be so quick to reverse the social distancing guidelines, saying more testing needs to be in place to determine whether areas currently showing fewer infections are truly at lower risk. In other words, let's go on. Trump's denial in the crisis was deadly, Pelosi told CNN. Boy, let's take that apart. Do you remember Throw Grandma Off the Cliff commercials back when Paul Ryan and Romney were running for office? I mean, the Democrats had commercials with, because of the health care stuff that of the Republican, of Paul Ryan shoving a fake grandma off a cliff in a wheelchair. I mean, this is the stuff that's going on. This is the heart and mind of our leaders. You know, it's absolutely never ending. The way there's no good about anything, and I was just reading this stuff, and I'm like, are you kidding? Then it goes on, as the president fiddles, people are dying, and we have to take every precaution, she said. She promised a congressional investigation once the pandemic is over to determine whether Trump heeded advice from scientific experts. This is the cruelest, most dark-sided, yucky, whatever you want to call it, I can imagine, folks. I mean, it just is yuck, 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 yuck. So I personally think this thing is, let's say hyped up, blown out of proportion, whatever you want to call it, but really being misused. The liberals are getting mad because Trump's not hyping everybody up and getting them all mad and chasing things down and just trying to destroy and attack. You know, what's the devil do? Steal, kill, destroy. What have the Republicans been doing? Steal, kill, destroy. The other problem is, to a thief, everyone's a thief. They can't imagine, they can't fathom. Being in politics all these years, they can't stand the fact that they can't control Trump. They don't have anything over him. So they make fake stuff. They know how to crush spirits, to character assassinate and destroy. And when Trump doesn't go down, it's devastating their reputation because it's showing that they're like a bunch of vicious, junior high girls out to destroy some other girl that dated their boyfriend or something. I mean, it's just the whole spirit of it and the vitriol and the hatred is so destructive. You know, and I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about this a little bit. And, like I said, hindsight's 20/20. And in my experience, business-wise, really, usually for 99% of these kinds of behaviors are done by scumbag attorney, his lovely show. Bill Maher's kind of a corrupt, dark figure, and he has been on record so many times. It's like, we need a recession to get rid of this president. And he said, this country has survived many recessions, but he says it can't survive 4 more years of Trump. Really? I mean, they create this false hype. What have we done? The bipartisan, we were warned about the bipartisan system, and this is why we've got Hillary Clinton Pelosi. It says she needs an after action review of the Trump coronavirus response as the president fiddles. People are dying. And it goes on and on like this. Folks, this is sick. In the middle of this thing, people are dying. And what? She's the hero. She's the superhero that's come to save us all. I mean, my listeners, I'm assuming you know God, you know the Bible, and you know the Holy Spirit. That is not of the Spirit. That's not how the Spirit operates. And I'll just put a note out there for you. If you ever find yourself in situations like this, a while ago, some business friends that are Christians of mine were, I think, excessively going after an ex-employee for something that wasn't quite what they wanted it to look like it was, and they had lost the Spirit. And I talked to them about it, and it just wasn't right. It's too much. And what they were accusing, was iffy. And I mean, I won't get into the details, but as believers, you don't want to be that guy or lady that's out, going after, getting self-righteous with a chip on your shoulder, going after your neighbor because they're, they're. When I was a kid, we actually had this guy next door to us who had the most manicured lawn you've ever seen. He was like ex-military, and it looked like, that golf course stuff. It was like maybe an inch tall, just perfect. It was almost like he'd be out there laying on the lawn with a comb and, kind of thing. And then we used to call him the Bear of Bad News because he came over one time. He lived on the corner, and we were little kids, and we'd ride our bikes. And we'd ridden across the corner of his lawn, and he came to the door and said, well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but one of your kids has ridden their bike across the corner of my lawn, you know, and we used to just kind of be like, and then my sister said it was me and started crying. We were very young. But the point is, that is the absolute most terrible way to live life. That's an accusational spirit. It's a critical spirit. Cynicism is not a virtue. Assuming the worst is not a virtue. People think that is actually not, assuming the worst is not discernment. There's nothing good about it. You know, we've got to be thinking about all the good things that we can do or think about in the name of Christ. And around the world, you know, there's a lot to be thankful and happy about. Let's face it. There's a lot. And we are, you know, we're overhyping this thing. I'm not saying it's not a flu or it's not kind of a heavy flu and it causes pneumonia, but it's not what they make it to be. The deaths don't even keep up with influenza. They're not even close. Everyone's issued stay-at-home warnings. You know, Florida, I heard Montana now, Virginia, you know, more. And now they're saying they're going to be prolonged. Folks, this is driven hard by the left. This is not right. If people are going to get it, they're going to get it. This is not going to, no pandemic has ever been handled this way. In the past, you know, everything from cholera and, you know, the Spanish flu and, you know, German measles or whatever, they, you know, by the time they do the quarantine, it's too late. It's just too late. It's spread everywhere. It's all around the world. And then everybody thinks they're going to die because the media teaches you. You will turn on the TV and you will listen to us and you will get afraid because we specialize in mind control. And it does, it gives all their ratings a big boost, this stuff, this terror. It's corona terrorism, COVID terrorism. It's not killing the numbers that people think. People, you know, it's like on the newspaper yesterday or the head of, you know, some news thing, Joe Diffie dies from complications from coronavirus. Then you read later on, he had the symptoms of coronavirus, but they never verified he had it. Hmm? What? The article, I mean, this stuff's nuts. You have to understand how propaganda works and the different techniques, and it's, you have to know when you're being propagandized. I mean, it's, you know, there's been a lot of studies on it. And I, you know, I've gone through a lot of them recently, and I was going to his wisdom and his strength and his power, and, you know, and we go forth from there in that way. So, it's important that we are open to wisdom from any resource. We never want to limit where we get our wisdom or what we think about it or, you know, that kind of stuff or the locations of it. And so what I was talking about here a minute ago, and then I'll get back, is so I was saying, you know, hindsight's 2020. I talked about propaganda a little bit, the propaganda techniques. True propaganda is, can't be full of outright lies or deception, as everyone might think. It's the statement of facts and beliefs with the intention of influencing a particular audience, and it's trademarked by the omission of any details that might persuade you to the other side. So there's lying by commission, or right? You can commit a lie or commit a sin, and there's lying by omission. You can omit a sin. How about that? And there's scripture and Proverbs about that. There's forms of neglect. You know what's right to do. You fail to do it. It's a sin. And in Proverbs, I think 22, it talks about the sin of neglect, of knowing what's right to do and yet not doing it or intentionally withholding things is a sin. This is what propaganda is. It's dark. And then they'll take 99% truth and they'll add in a little bitty lie or a big lie. As Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister, said, you know, if you tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they will believe. That is Mr. Goebbels, a sick man. sick man who participated in a sick event, frankly. I think you know what I'm talking about if you know about the Holocaust. Anybody to do anything with that is really not a good person in my book. And I know that they were under pressure from their peers and at the threat of death, but people died and said, not me, you know, I guess that's the time to do it. So I just want you to understand propaganda is, it's been around for many centuries, probably the whole time humans have been on Earth. The term itself, I think, was coined under Pope Gregory the 15th. XV, establishing the Congregation of Propaganda. He established the Congregation of Propaganda in 1622. So it says the Pope created this group for the express purpose of trying to win back Catholics who'd taken up the Protestant faith during the Reformation. Missionary work was nothing new, of course, but people began to realize the possibilities associated with quote, spreading the word. The technique became widely used not only for religious conversions, but also and especially for political and wartime public persuasion purposes. I don't know if you've ever gone back and looked at the wartime propaganda this country's put out. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty excessive. I mean, it's very one-sided. You're a patriot. You're going to sacrifice. Go without food. Give up your this is all FDR stuff, you know, give up your crops. And you read it, you go back and look at it, folks, I'm telling you, full throttle socialism. It's crazy. I mean, it is so crazy how close we got under FDR. I think it's just, we were so close under FDR. And thank God we pulled away from that. But he was in office for many, you know, four into his fourth term. And then when he died, both parties rushed in within 2 weeks and passed the two-term max presidential law, whatever that is. And thank goodness. Because of that, they were terrified of the guy. He had tried every single thing under the sun. Later on, 50 years later, when the papers came out in the 80s, of course, people just brushed by this because the liberals technically control the media. 33 verified socialist communist or Soviet communist spies were on the White House staff and on the payroll of the Soviet Union. Sorry, I said the 80s. Actually, when it came out was after the wall came down. And I could have prepared for that. But anyway, so there was absolute evidence they found, records. These guys were paid as they worked in the White House. And according to the records, FDR knew it. He knew they were communists. He wanted America to go communist. William Sheehy, his chief of staff, had drafted an executive order giving him full dictatorial powers over the United States. And he completely begged him day in and day out to issue that executive order. It apparently sat on his desk in a folder waiting. This is how close we came. And people get so terrified of Trump and all this stuff. The media is so destructive. The 24/7 news cycle is so destructive. It's so opposite of what God is. So anyway, you got... I mean, I'm going back and forth here a little bit, but, you know, I always, like I've said on the show, you know, well, hindsight is 20/20, right? And only really dirty attorneys, I think, really specialize in digging up decisions people made, unless it's blatant neglect. You know, at first they were criticizing Trump for moving too fast, then too slow. Now they're too slow. Now they just criticize. It's a critical spirit. It's terrible. I've discussed critical thinking versus a critical spirit. Critical thinking is looking for potential problems with the intent of solving them. That's critical thinking. A critical spirit is just looking for something wrong. And I, you know, like I've said, I've had, you know, employees on both sides of the fence. I mean, I've had people I've worked with in all kinds of environments. Just people, you know, people, it doesn't have to be employees, whatever. They just get so negative and they can find something wrong with every single thing you say, everything you do, everything going on around them. And even some of the best people, we can fall into that rut. when we're having a bad day, or we overly emotional, or whatever it is that's going on, we get a critical spirit. That spirit cuts us off from God. It's so destructive in so many ways, and it tears us down. It destroys from the core, and we have to flee from that spirit. We got to avoid it. And if it comes in a close family member, or, you know, if you're an adult parent and you have kids that get that way, you got to work through it. You got to get them out of it. And it may be a process. Maybe they need counseling. I don't know. Or in a marriage, you know, if someone gets that way, and the problem is when people get like that, there's just no way to win. You're, you know, darned if you do, darned if you don't, darned if you stay, darned if you go, I guess. I don't know. I've, you know, heard plenty of stories, but, it's such a destructive spirit, and negative always brings down the positive. And personal responsibility is the key to everything. What with critical spirit, you're looking at what did they do wrong? Critical thinking is what can I do to help or fix or change? What can I do right? Period. You can't think both, or you can say, well, they did butcher shop that, but you know what? I'm going to take care of that. It's going to be my responsibility. That's the key. And every one of us is in a different situation. Some people are like, you know, I've had wives call me and tell me about, you know, really tough situations with non-believing husbands and things like that. And that's really hard. But, you know, the only thing worse is having a believing spouse that it doesn't walk with God, you know. And that can be a real challenge, too, for people. But that's where you just, you know, prayer is powerful stuff. And that's, I mean, it's a fact. You just have to pray your way through that stuff. And it works. God listens. You just have to pray like you believe. And that sounds weird, but there's the cliche prayer. And there's the real prayer, you know. And then remember the, you know, kind of the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity. Or what? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Grant me the fruits of the Spirit to accept the things I cannot change, which is what? Other people. The courage to change the things I can, which is myself, but also takes courage to change yourself because change is really uncomfortable. You got to look at yourself honestly and openly. And then it says, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we've got to know when we've got an uphill battle or a downhill slide. The downhill slide's us. We can take it where we want it. The uphill battle is trying to change other people. I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you're in a marriage. I know, you know, you got to deal with what you got to deal with. That's part of marriage. They say, if you went from one marriage to another, you might give up the problems you're dealing with and you trade them for another set of problems. I've been married 33 years. I'm not going anywhere. Don't misread me at all. I'd be shell-shocked, to put it lightly. It's just kind of, I'm saying I have empathy for those of you who deal with this stuff. And my heart and prayers go out to you. And, I, you know, appreciate you hanging in there serving the Lord. So anyway, let me get back to this little bad boy here. So I was, you know, I'm growing very weary of all this vitriol. I'm getting tired of it. If America is, you know, I've said if we're like a family or say a large company or whatever, Trump is our father or CEO, okay? So for a short time, for 8 years, and we've got to stop the hate. The hate is so destructive, folks. We have to respect and support him until the next president comes along. Thinking the worst about anyone is a cancer. Expecting or hoping the worst for someone is evil or dark. I mean, wanting the worst is not good. I think you would agree with that. Bless your enemies and do not curse them in Matthew 5. And, you know, that's a packed scripture, isn't it? That chapter of Matthew is kind of like a very rich, full study for sure. Let's see here if I can get in there. It's interesting when you change versions and it loses the words, it changes them. So it says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun, as in the sun above us, the bright sun, to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those, and this is so valuable, folks, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. Do you think Christ would have enjoyed the IRS? That's not the point. But that they were apparently the bottom feeders. They were brutal, barbaric, greedy, corrupt, horrible people. They would come and just beat down the door and take whatever they wanted for taxes. It was really not a good situation. But what's it say? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Then it says, so, you know, you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. That's how you become sons. Right above that, he says, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's old school stuff. He says, no, not now. But he says, you want to be sons of your Father? Love. Love, 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 folks. So this is a one thing where I've seen people get confused on, but I agree totally and I disagree. And what I mean by that is this. I've heard people take this too far and say, you know, as believers, we're just supposed to love, 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 nothing else. I had a guy come to me one time and he just read a book and I'd known him for quite a while. And he was like, hey, Kevin, I got it figured out. You know, I read this great book. You got to read it. This guy says we need to just love everybody and love, love, love. That's all we do as Christians. We don't need to be involved in politics. We don't need to be involved in anything. We just got to love, love, love. You know, I mean, basically, and I'm like, you mean like our founding fathers? And he looked at me really funny. Like, what do you mean by that? I said, think about it. You like our founding fathers? He's like, well, they didn't do that. I said, no, they didn't. They fought like hell so that you could sit here today and talk to me about this in freedom. We don't even realize the impact on the earth. Folks, biblically, there's lots of bloodshed for righteousness' sake. Christ addresses it. When they persecute you for righteousness' sake, when they take you to the cross, when they're going to chop your head off, when they're going to kill you and beat you, you know, turn the other cheek. You know, and he said, and then it says it like in Acts, you're going to get the Holy Spirit, like when Stephen was, when they were coming after him. And he says, don't worry about what you're going to say in these times. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll speak fine. So Jesus knew, you know, if you're going to rob a house, you better buy in the strong man. He knew the strong man was coming out. There's all kinds of things when he tells you to go buy a knife. You go buy knives, he says, at near the end. He's like, it's going to get ugly. He knows violence exists. There's a time and a place for it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that respond to nothing else. It's a language. My dad was a bail bondsman. There's people that, you know, they have the language of the street. Things boil down. Can you kick their butt or not? Can you put a punch behind your word? That's why these crazy mob guys get so rough and brutal. Because that's all their, you know, adversary, competitors, whatever you want to call them, that's all they get. It's a language. It's not a good language, but it's a language. And, you know, look at terrorism. Look at these people that do the sick, horrible things to humans. I mean, that you think they understand, like Obama? Well, we need to just have diplomatic meetings, and then the left goes down that trail. No matter what the conservatives say, they have to go the opposite. So Trump is kind of a mid-road populist. By the way, this tax thing, this cut, $1,200 to adults and $500 to children in every home that has made less than $75,000 a year per adult. This is the single greatest redistribution of wealth in the history of the world. Trillions of dollars going from, think about it. Everybody who makes over 75 grand a year gets nothing, and everything goes down into the lower middle. I mean, this is not even, it's senseless. I get it. That none of that is going to change. What it might do a little bit is help small business if people spend it, or unless they go spend it all on Amazon, which is probably more likely. So he's back to helping big business. And I'll be honest with you, that is definitely where his mindset is. But, you know, you never hear the Pelosi's or the Schumer's talking about the small businessman. They're always talking about the working man. as if they're always a victim. They're always unhappy. Their life is terrible. If people at that level thought about it, they would realize that they're being talked down. You know, you think of like the Alabama song, you know, it's like where it says thank you for the auto worker and, you know, working for a living. And it's just, you know, it talks about the truck driver and it talks about all these parts that tie America together. You know, guys are out there hauling their tail, driving trucks. That's hard. They're under pressure continuously. They can't get a ticket. You ever watch some of these highway patrolmen harass them? I don't know if you understand that. They have to have every single thing logged. And there's cops that love to take them down. I know a lot of truck drivers. And there's cops that harass them. And, you know, and these tickets, they screw the guy's career up. They screw up his insurance and everything. Just for a quota. And a lot of it just gets petty. It's tough, you know, and so they've got time pressure. They can't get a speeding ticket. Everything they do now is recorded by GPS and satellite and video and, you know, on and on, even audio in the cab. I mean, jiminy, you talk to your wife on the phone, that's all recorded. You know, it's not easy. There's just so much that goes into making America, America. You're not bad people. I mean, I grew up in Great Falls, Montana. I go back and I look at all these parents and the way these kids grew up that was the American dream. And these houses are teeny, tiny, teeny little things. I didn't remember them that way. But, you know, back then that, you know, two cars at home. I mean, the garages were so small they couldn't even get two cars in them. They could barely get them in lengthwise when they got a little bigger. But they were happy. It was the American dream. They had a roof over their heads. They had a little money in the bank. Kids were growing up healthy and clean. You know, sports or whatever they did in church. And they had cars that ran. And they were thankful. I'm serious. Believers or not, they felt good about their lives. They made the best of it. And now we're just focused on what we don't have all the time. That's propaganda again. It's become, it's marketing, but it's crazy. And everybody, you know, rates go down. Everybody's got to have a bigger, badder, nicer house. Now it's getting to the point where it's going the other way. By the way, with Corona, this stuff's going to get goofy. So anyway, what I was going to say here with Trump, you know, he's our leader, father, CEO, whatever. We got to respect him. The vitriol's no good. Respect and support until the next one comes. And it's not a virtue to be cynical. And expecting to hoping the worst for someone is dark. So, you know, the Bible says God is love. I think we all agree with that, right? And we know what love is. Now, if we're thinking about God is love and we are looking at another person, it says what? Love rejoices in the truth. And it says it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Important to understand, believes all things, hopes all things. What do you think that's saying? Do you think it says that you believe the worst and hope the worst? No. It's saying love believes the best and hopes the best and wants the best. And, you know, I've told people time and time again, you might think that being skeptical is really smart and being cynical is great and you're so wise because you can find something. But no, why? What a way to live life. Assuming the worst, assuming someone's going to wrong you, assuming they're going to wrong themselves or whatever. It's just destructive. I've known parents that overdo that with their kids. They become negative spies. Parents don't realize that. When kids are young and they're going through different crises, I've known kids who's, you know, had their little sister, their mom would have their little sister digging around their bedroom looking for, you know, contraband or whatever, or, you know, and then you get in that, oh, I can't trust little Johnny. And so everything to Johnny is negative and dark and hard. And, you know, maybe they call it tough love, but you're just crushing the kid's spirit. How can someone rise up out of that, especially at a youthful age, when you think about it, if you're just saying everything you do is wrong, we always say 90% of our speech is not what we say. It's the tone and it's also our body language. And so if any person, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you get where you just think negative and rotten trash about somebody all the time, especially, like I said, a child or a spouse, you really expect them to rise up out of that? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but that only that which is edifying to the hearers, that build them up. That's Ephesians 4:29, basically. You got to build people up. You do no good if someone's messed up. If they've messed up in a marriage, you have two choices, to go or stay. If you stay and they're willing to make the promise to straighten it up, then you better be sure that you can handle it, because you don't need to be running around paranoid. And it's tough, but you can't hold the black cloud over their head or yours. The black cloud in a marriage, folks, is not a good thing. If you can't hack it, don't hang around. But don't, you know, put yourself in a position like that and then expect the person to rise out. People just don't rise up under those situations. You got to give, you never corner a cat. You always give it a way out, you know. And you also, when you build people up, that where a true sign of security and strength, personal inner strength is building others up. Being able to speak and say, good job. Well, nice job there. You know, there. I know all of it. I know there's people that just are just the, you know, the most, it's a victim's mentality and all that. And they won't try because they might fail and all that stuff. But, you know, all that stuff needs help, therapy, prayer, whatever. We just got to believe good. And that's when we have our president, love never fails, right? Where it believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God is love. We have to hope and wish and believe the best about our president, not be skeptical and destructive all the time. That's the way I look at it. We got to believe, hope, and expect the best for others. It is the most constructive mindset, right? And as some would say, it's good karma. So that is that. So let me find here. Let's see here real quick. I don't have a ton of time. But anyway, so we talked a while ago about where this Wuhan virus came from. Let me see if I buzz through this, how long it'll be. I think I can do this again. Okay, so I'm going to kind of just highlight some of these notes here. So I talked about the truth behind the Wuhan virus about a week ago. So Bill Gates and Barack Obama released a docuseries on Netflix called Pandemic. In December, right before the Wuhan virus was officially declared or discovered, okay? So it's where Bill Gates says to their top tier, you know, whatever, some big award I'm going to not get into right now because of time, but trust me, everything I say here is fully documented. So this China's Academy of Sciences built the lab and then awarded him that honor. The Wuhan virus was originally developed at the University of North Carolina under NIH grants, which I've seen before. It's like what the National Institute on Health, which is, they're behind a lot of published medical journal articles and stuff. So the NIH grants approved by the Obama administration in 12 is how this virus was originally developed at the University of North Carolina. And to study the 2003 SARS coronavirus in a lab, NIH scientists developed a man-made version using bat DNA, which is what the communists unleashed. This is all documented fact, okay? This was man-made. It's weaponized. It was designed to transfer it over to humans to test the SARS virus, folks. Seriously, fact. The NIH, National Institute on Health, defunded the UNC research because they called it extremely dangerous. That's the National Institute on Health defunded it because of the proven human-to-human transmission speed or rate. So the communist Chinese scientists left the University of North Carolina and took their work to the newly built and funded lab in Wuhan lab in 2017, funded and built by Bill Gates and friends. The head of the Harvard Chemistry and Biology Department with ties to Gates and Epstein was arrested for accepting bribes from the communists. You follow that? And then there's Epstein. That was the pedophile who got locked up and coincidentally hung himself in prison in an impossible fashion and broke three bones in his neck because he's so good at hanging himself, I guess, from so much practice or something. So this thing is like, did Epstein know it was coming? And there's actually a reference on that as well, which is more of a question. And it's talking about Epstein gave exorbitant amounts of money, at least $9 million, and pledged $30 million to researchers funded by the Department of Defense, DARPA, and all these others, and NIH at Harvard University with the expertise and technology to genetically engineer and improve bacteria and viruses. One of Harvard's most prominent scientists received $18 million from DOD and NIH, was arrested and charged for operating a secret lab. Where? In Wuhan, China. It says just hours ago. That was a couple months ago. This researcher was given over $1.5 million to do it, and it goes on and on, okay? You get the picture? There's Epstein, there's Gates, there's just, you know, there's the Wuhan lab, et cetera, right? We'll just keep it cooking here. So the head of the Harvard Chemistry and Biology Department with ties to Gates and Epstein was arrested for accepting bribes from the Chinese communists. And they're like, why was Epstein involved? You know, did he know? That's the magic question. Then there was the Perbright Institute, funded by Bill Gates, that owns the patent on coronavirus genetic sequencing. They did simulation testing on a global pandemic in 2019. The first case of Wuhan virus was reported in China on November 17th. Communists did not inform the World Health Organization or CDC, Center for Disease Control, until January 11th. Why? It's 2 months. How does the Wuhan virus spread, and how does your body fight it? I mean, it spreads. I'm not going to go into that right now. I don't have time. But I've got all that here. Bill Gates and Barack Obama docuseries marketed the need for a global universal vaccine to replace all other flu vaccines. You think that might be a big profit maker? I mean, they could use that for anything you could imagine. They could give you any disease, any sickness, anything you wanted. They could use it to deliver a human tracking chip or nanotechnology, which is microscopic technology to be monitored and controlled by Huawei's 5G network. You remember Trump wouldn't let Huawei, the largest phone company in the world, come into our country because they're subsidized heavily by the Chinese government, and they're pushing through this 5G network where they see everything, know everything. It's basically virtual everything. So we got, you know, we had 12,500 people basically in the U.S. die of the H1N1 flu, which came from Mexico, supposedly, under Obama in 2019, although they say it came from a testing lab outside of, you know, Texas down by Mexico, whatever, Navy testing places, another theory I won't get into. But from Mexico under Obama in 2009, many of the people that died were children because Obama waited 6 months to do anything and never closed the border. The media said nothing about the 61 million people who were infected on Obama's H1N1 crisis, but they're creating this huge panic, shutting down the entire globe for Donald Trump around the U.S. deaths from the Wuhan virus, which at this point are, I don't even know what, 100 and something, maybe a couple hundred. They're creating this huge panic for Trump around the U.S. deaths from the Wuhan virus, and it's like they want to destroy the U.S. economy before the election. They actually tried to do the same thing with the SARS virus under Bush in 2003. You know, and then they unleashed the swine flu virus in 2009 to infect 61 million and kill 12,500. Why? It was right when they were trying to convince us to pass Obamacare. They tried to tie the two together. So, you know, you got Dr. Drew. Well, you got thousands of people in the U.S. have died from the common flu every year. This year, I think I figured out last night, it's about 150 people a day, 365 days a year is the average, 52,000 a year. If we rattled off these deaths of flu every day on TV, people would get freaked out too. A bad flu season can be like 80,000 dead. And this year, we've had the coronavirus out there now, what, 5 months? And we've got 18,000 or whatever it is, 24,000 dead. This is no pandemic. Pandemics kill 1 million people in 3 months, folks. It's a lot of, I know it, I sound crazy, and yeah, it'll kill people on the outliers and all that, you know. But there's a difference the way they rate corona deaths. If you have corona and you get shot, you're considered a corona death. If you have the flu and you get shot, you're considered a homicide. So, you know, we've got all these, you know, these death statistics, which I question as a statistician anyway. We had that nursing home in Washington. I won't go into all the details there. So after these first deaths, in Bill Gates' backyard, interesting, the never Trump governor, Inslee, declared a national emergency. And then we get, you know, Congress approves $8.3 billion for the CDC, even though Trump asked for only a quarter of that. Much of the funding will flow to Gates' global research partners. Suddenly, Bill Gates has his foundation, says his foundation's going to offer in-home testing kits where you can swab your nose with a Q-tip, send it to his labs. How convenient and timely. You know, he developed these in-home testing kits before this happens. He can also get your DNA this way, folks, and he's been begging for that. He's been talking about that. This is scary stuff, folks. 19 out of the, listen to me, they can get your DNA. Be careful about swabbing your cheek or your nose and sending a Q-tip in the mail. It's the, you know, you're on record at that point. 19 out of 21 who tested positive on the Princess cruise ship were crew members. Anyway, so the virus starts in South Korea. I'm running out of time. Because these leaders of a doomsday cult went to Wuhan, China, and went back and infected 8,000 of their members. Who paid them to do that? South Korean President Moon Jae-in allowed 5 million Chinese to enter the country after the initial outbreak. In Italy, the virus started in a hospital filled with sick elderly people in a small town in northern Italy, spread by a 38-year-old carrier from Wuhan, who actually recovered, who put him there. Over 100,000 Chinese migrants from Wuhan own and work in the textile leather industry in northern Italy. You know, ER doctors say socialized. In 2019, Italy and Communist China signed an agreement to jointly promote China's Belt and Road Initiative. I talked about that before. ER doctors say socialized medicine so bad in Italy that people avoid clinics and go straight to the hospital where they're housed with the elderly and sick, which is why the virus spread so fast. People are thinking, oh, it's because of the age and everything. Iran's leaders suddenly became infected after Iran's foreign leader met with John Kerry. We've got Rand Paul, which is also suspicious. I'm out of time again. You know, in Iran, like Italy, a partner in the China thing. Well, I'm going to have to get going here. So anyway, you get my point, folks. This is a massive organized campaign. Call it conspiratorial. I don't care. Follow the facts. Follow the money. Solomon, money's the answer to everything. Give us a call. Let us take care of you. We do wonderful portfolios. Time to move now. Take care. God bless. And bye-bye. Have a great evening.